Here's my message today. All right, we're going to go to this book called James. And you know, anybody remember when we did the book of Acts? Some of you were here. I know Pastor Stephen and I both did part of the book of Acts. We went through the whole book. I think it took us 9 months. It was a big one. We had a series like that once back a number of years ago on the Holy Spirit that went for like months. And, you know, we haven't continually done James. We've broken away from it. But I kept feeling like we need to just go back, and even if there's weeks in between it, which there has been, I want to go through it because there's instruction here that I think is going to be helpful to each of us. And when we left off, some of you may know this, we're in chapter 4. So I thought I'd give you a little preview of where I see going with James chapter 4. There's only 5 chapters. There's 4 and 5. How long will that take? We'll see. But in chapters 4 and 5, some of the subjects that I see talking about are today, the flesh versus the spirit. That's where we'll go today, okay? That's in James 4. Another one that I see going is humility and authority. Did you hear that? Humility and authority. And you know what? They work together. They work together. Another one that I see going, which goes along with the word that Mary had, is the reign of heaven. And when I said that, I meant the reign that comes from heaven. James chapter 5 talks about it, okay? It's one of the places it talks about that. And what is the reign that comes down from heaven? Well, rain came down from heaven in the book of Acts. Anybody ever read the book of Acts? My goodness, there's just crazy wild signs and wonders that came down. And the Bible talks about that there's a former and a latter rain. We're living in a day where we're going to see the rains of God fallen on us. So we're going to talk some about that in the weeks to come. Not today. I'm not going there yet. We're going to talk about praying for the sick. How many think that would be okay to talk about? Yeah. Praying for the sick. We'll do our best. We're going to talk about the power in prayer too. So those are just some things that I see going through in the book of James. Frankly, you know, I take a book like this, we could go anywhere, okay, that the Spirit of God would lead us to. But it's just kind of a good outline to keep me on a pace, okay? You with me? So James chapter 4 is where we'll go today. I'm going to give you a brief overview of it. James is talking to the church. And he's given a warning against worldliness creeping into the church. I could say this. I could say sin. He's talking about the pulls of the flesh creeping into Christians in the church. He's also given a warning against judging. You know, my goodness. It seems like I'm living in a day where everyone's got an opinion. Anyway, and it's okay to have an opinion. You know, the waiter comes and asks you what you want. It's a bummer when you just want to eat the whole menu and you don't know what to pick. It's okay, have an opinion, and sometimes I like to look at what everybody else is ordering before I give my opinion, but anyway, the thing we want to be careful with is not to judge other people. It's interesting how we all walk out the things of God that God's showing us, and sometimes, you know, within reason, our walks can be a little different because we're different people, but we need to be careful not to judge people if they're not doing everything exactly the way we are. I worked at a ministry, most of you know that, for, oh, it was over 10 years. And frankly, there was a lot of diversity in Christendom, whatever. What I mean is there was a lot of Christians from different denominations that all came together and worked. And always, to me, when I look back, the beautiful thing is that we all got along for the most part. I'm not saying there wasn't ever any scuffle or anything, but I mean, you had me. They all called me the charismatic, you know, and then you had people that maybe wouldn't identify with that, you know, and frankly, sometimes I don't want to identify with it. I just want to say I'm a believer in Jesus, and I believe in the Holy Spirit too. But we can get along in this day, and we don't need to judge. As long as people believe Jesus is Lord, my goodness, we're going the same direction, okay? Okay, I'm giving an overview. Also, James exhorts us to be humble and to draw near to God. That I think this is, you know, if I was going to pick anything out of James 4, I'd say draw near to God. I mean, that would really nail it right there. He also talks to us in James chapter 4, just an overview, about not being know-it-alls, but fully depending on Him and His plan. My goodness. You going to cover all that today? Probably not. But we'll go where we can, okay? I tell you what, not being a know-it-all, but fully depending on Him. When I see the power of God work the most is when I'm not trying to do it myself. And when I'm just like, sometimes I'm half unconsciously doing it, you know? And that's when God can work best through me, when I'm not thinking too much. And I just yield to Him. You know, if there's a, whatever. I was thinking about a lot of times there's been a crisis or something, and just the Spirit of God will hit me, and I'll just act, you know? If I thought about it too much, I'd probably do it some other way, and it wouldn't be good. But, you know, fully dependent on Him. All right, I'm going to read James chapter 4. I'm reading out a New King James Version. It might make more sense if you look at the screen, if you're reading the Amplified or something. It won't quite flow with that, but here we go. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder, covet, and cannot obtain. You fight and you war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. I remember reading that when I was thinking about teaching this. I thought, my goodness, Lord, where are we going with all this? James is talking, though. He's talking to the church. He says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers, adulteresses, and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of God. Anybody want to be a friend of God? Wants to be a friend. Oh, actually, he says friend of the world must makes himself an enemy of God. But I want to be a friend of God. That's where I'm going. Do you think that scriptures say in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Grace to the humble. Sometimes you got to go low to get high. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Who's going to flee? The devil's going to flee. Okay? Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. Let's just say that together. Wait, can we? This, because I think this is important. Say, I draw near to God, and He draws near to me. My goodness. If we had nothing else, man, that would get us through life. In every situation, I'm going to draw near to God, and He's going to draw near to me. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He'll lift you up. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who's able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Come now, you who say, tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we'll go do such and such a city and spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas do you not know what will happen tomorrow? For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does it, does not do it, to him it's sin. Let me just touch on that before I even go on. It's not my notes, but James isn't saying here that you can't know the will of God. But he's saying you need to know the will of God. Okay? You know? I can't do life on my own. I can't just go do my thing. I've tried. I was asking God about that last night. I said, my goodness, it seems like I can't do nothing, you know, unless I know it's your will, you know. And believe me, I've missed it. I'm not saying I haven't, okay? But I know generally in life, that's my endeavor. It's just to hear God and do what He wants me to do. And James is saying that's how we got to live, folks. We can't boast about tomorrow and say, I'm going to go do this and that and this, you know. He's saying, no, man, humble yourself. was that a Wisconsin accent? I don't know. Anyway, don't be offended if it was. But humble ourselves. Seek him for direction. Don't try to do our own thing. But find out what his thing is and do that. Okay? All right. So going through the book or the chapter 4, you know, James says there's things to turn away from. And then he tells us there's someone we're to turn into. He tells us to humble ourselves, to resist the devil. He tells us there's a war going on. Anybody aware that there's been a war going on in your life? I think so. I tell you, just in the realm of being healed and whole, I feel like I've had to stand on so many little nagging things lately. And, you know, just like maybe 3 weeks ago, I was in the kitchen and I was cutting something. I don't remember what even. And we keep our knives sharp. And, man, I cut right in my, I don't know, one of these fingers. I forget now. But anyway, I cut so hard it took me 2 or 3 days to get it to stop bleeding. I mean, completely, you know, just filled Band-Aids and, you know, I just kind of shove it in my pocket, and you know, and it was just like I just got over that. I was just getting to, you know, where I didn't have to wear a Band-Aid. You know what a joy it is to not wear a Band-Aid after wearing one for over a week? It's like, yeah, hoorah, I've arrived, no Band-Aid, yeah. And then I get this sliver about this long in my foot the same day I quit wearing a Band-Aid. And I'm like, Dana, I mean, none of these things are really life-threatening, you know. I mean, you know, really, but they're just annoying. And I said, man, does the battle ever end? You know, I'm in a battle every day, but you know what? I win because I fight from the place of victory. I go to Jesus and he's my victor, and I'm just taking on his winning, and I'm living my life like that. So, yeah, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Stuff happens to everybody. Sometimes I think some of the biggest battles are when things like that are happening, we think we're the only one that's ever going through it. And I'm not comparing my things to yours, you know, but I'm telling you what, we're all living in this world. Everybody that walked outside today got wet. It wasn't just sinners or righteous people. Everybody got wet. Okay? It falls on everybody. Okay? What are you going to do with it? Well, if I knew nothing else, I'm going to draw near to God. And he's going to draw near to me. But we'll talk about some more. All right, so there's a battle that a Christian goes through. You know, that's probably different than somebody who isn't a Christian. Because I don't know about you, but when I wasn't a Christian, man, fighting the flesh? Are you kidding? Why would I do that? I was becoming an expert at yielding to it. But then I get born again. And God's living in me. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I find that my flesh goes against my spirit. It's like, you know, and as a Christian, you can yield to your flesh. You can do that. But I don't recommend it. James doesn't recommend it. In fact, what he's saying to the church here in chapter 4 is really, guys, there ought to be a difference between us and the world. Okay? Yay. Whoa, preach it, Pastor Paul. I'm telling you, there ought to be a difference. We ought to live our lives, you know, that people say, wow, what is it about you? And it isn't because we've become so religious. I frankly resist that. Most of my Christian life, that's what I've done, is resist religious. And to me, religious is just getting into this powerless routine, you know. Even Pastor Stephen was talking about baby dedications and saying, don't get into this, you know, powerless religious thing about it, because, you know, that's when the power gets sucked out of it, you know. And I don't want to live like that. I want to live like connected to God. I want to live my life that, man, that's what was real to me when I got born again is all of a sudden I knew I had a connection with God. And I want to develop that. I want to hear his voice. I want to be led by him. That isn't weird. That's normal for a Christian. And it is also normal for a Christian for there to be this war that James is talking about between our flesh and our spirit. And what we need to do is recognize what's flesh and resist that and say no to our flesh and say yes to him. Okay? You see, because that's how the power of God flows through our being. Okay? That's how we're going to be effective in what he's called us to do. Now, you know, I'm not talking perfectionism either here. Do you hear me? Then, you know, because the devil's mean, he takes stuff and he twists it and, you know, comes at you with this stuff at like, oh, you know, if I don't do it all right, God can't use me. No, God has used me when I've done such stupid things. But, you know, I just turn on a dime. I say, all right, use me, Lord, help me. Help me here. You know, it's not me. Sometimes it helps me to see that it isn't me, you know. I've seen some of the biggest miracles that God's used me in have been when I wasn't even trying to be spiritual. I remember one time Dana yelled at me in the middle of the night. I don't know if you know me real well, but I don't wake up real quick or real well, okay? And I'm a police chaplain. Sometimes I get calls in the middle of the night. And I remember one time I had to hung up the phone after they gave me a call. It was like 3 a.m. and I was going to get my shirt on, my uniform, and the phone rings again, and I said, what's up? They said, well, I didn't even tell you where you're going. I said, oh, yeah, thanks. I remember one time, though, I was back a few years ago because my youngest daughter was still living with us, and, man, she had pneumonia, fighting pneumonia, you know, and she woke up in the middle of the night, and, of course, Mom woke up. I kept snoring, sleeping, didn't get phased, and Dana's in there. So I got two of them. The two reactors are together, Dana and Casey. And Casey couldn't breathe, and it was to such a point that she turned purple and was like, ugh! And Dana's like, Paul! And I come out of the bedroom. I'm like, what? What's going on? And I look, and I saw it, and I went, Jesus! And immediately she started to breathe. It was just like, now, you can't say that Paul was being, you know, in the spiritual. I don't know. Maybe half asleep is spiritual to me. I don't know. But it wasn't that I was sitting there in the other room praying in tongues and, you know, reading my Bible. But God still used me. So I'm just telling you all that to say, hey, listen, don't beat yourself up. Don't think you got to be in this perfection realm. God's bringing us places, though. And I'll tell you what, Paul said this once. He said, I go from glory to glory. I go from glory to glory. You know, wherever you're at today, don't stay there. Go higher. Go deeper. Know him better. Let the real you on the inside shine brighter. Okay? All right? Don't be satisfied with where you're at now, because there's more. Can you say that there's more? So I was reading this James chapter 4 and hearing his exhortation to the church. And what came to me is that, you know, this is not a message that James only preaches. And I find that it's in every New Testament writer talked about this war between the flesh and the spirit. Okay? But desires that try to creep up on us and overtake us and really hold us captive. God never wants to hold you captive. He comes to set you free. You know? He comes and, you know, even earthquakes happen. We said this Friday night, we were praying. And, you know, even the earthquake that came in Acts, I don't know, forget what chapter now, 3 or 4, somewhere in there. And it's further on. But anyway, it shook the prison. And it didn't say the walls fell down on the prisoners. It says the chains came off them. Isn't that something? That's God shaking. You know, God ain't shaking you to hurt you. He's shaking you to free you. He has better things for you. He has missions for you to go on. Adventures to go on. I feel like Bilbo Baggins. I'm leaving the Shire. I'm going on an adventure. Yeah. Yeah. So Paul talks about this war that we're in 1 Corinthians 1 place. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, this is so vivid. Hear what he says here, and then I'm reading New King James. He says, I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. The American Standard Version, I like it in this. He says, I buffet my body and bring it into bondage, Now, it's only the right kind of bondage, okay? Don't be taken off by that word. Just when I tell you this is a good version, it's a little different. Okay. Here's what he's saying. He says, I keep control of my flesh. I keep control of my body. I don't let my body rule me. That's what Paul's saying. He says, I make it obey me, because the real you is the person on the inside of you. This body, this flesh that we walk around in, this is our earth suit, but it's not the real you, okay? It's the person on the inside. And it's a sad thing when this person on the inside, who's a new creature in Christ, full of the Holy Ghost, is ruled by something earthly and fleshly. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying, you know, even though I'm a man of God, I've prayed for people, I have the dead raised and everything, he said, I still have to buffet my body. I still have to make it come into line. I have to bring it into subjection. Lest when I preach to others, I'd be rejected. I'd fall off the place. You know, he said, I've got to do this. This is a constant thing. There's a war between the flesh and the spirit. See, your body's never meant to rule you. It's never meant to rule you. Your body is your servant, not your master. Okay? You tell it what to do. It doesn't tell you what to do. And I know that's hard. You go through holidays, you know, just, you know, food in the fridge. And, you know, I had my deviled eggs last week. I made sure they're all gone by the end of the day so they wouldn't be talking to me in the night. Casey and I sat in the kitchen and polished the last two off at about 8 o'clock. Yeah. Anyway, let me just read this too, because it flows into it. Romans 12, 1 and 2, familiar verses to many. I'll just say this too. Your flesh will do anything you let it do. But you don't have to let it do what it wants to do. Paul said this, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then he couples it with this. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We could go a long ways on that verse alone, but I was just really getting his, you know, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present them to God. You know, what do I present to God? Well, present your bodies to Him, a living sacrifice. You know, trouble with the living sacrifice is it keeps trying to crawl off the altar. But you know what? Bring your body into subjection. Make it do what you want it to do. I'm going to read the Weiss translation of verse 2 just because it's so good. I can't resist. It says, stop assuming an outward expression that doesn't come from within you. Did you hear that? Don't assume an outward expression that doesn't come from within you and is not representative of what you are in your inner being, but is patterned after this age. This is the same thing James is talking about here in chapter 4. Change your outward expression to one that comes from within and is representative of your inner being by renewing your mind. Isn't that something? I just, that hits me though. The outward, don't let your outward expression be something from the world. You know, don't let it come from outside, but let it come from within. We've said this for decades. God changes us from the inside out. The world comes at you with this pressure from the outside. In fact, the Phillips Bible, I wasn't going to read it, but I'll read it here. The Phillips Bible says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. Isn't that something? That's what the world does. It comes to try to pressure you, to try to make you look a certain way and act a certain way. God changes you from the inside out. Okay? Yield to that. All right. The war between the flesh and the spirit. I don't think we could talk about it without reading Romans 7. And I'm going to just read it in, I think it's the Message Bible. You know, I like to use different Bible translations. We had coffee with local pastors here this week, and I asked them, I said, what version do you use? And they're all using different versions than I do. But they all agreed that they like to use a variety of translations. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, have your homie that you go to. It's funny, depending on what decade you grew up in the Lord, your favorite version is going to probably be different. You know, Dana and I, we go way back, and we actually memorize things in the King James. Can you believe it? It's kind of poetic. It's all right. Still worked. It's all right. You know, whatever one. You know, have your grounded version that you go to. But, you know, sometimes you just get stuck on a verse. You're reading it and you go, what in the world? What is he talking about here? Well, one of the things I do besides reading commentaries or, you know, study Bibles is I'll pull out different translations and I'll see how different people interpreted it. And sometimes the Holy Ghost will speak to me when I read a certain version and it goes, oh, that makes sense. I get what he's saying now. He's saying it in a way that I understand it. Okay, good. Anyway, so here's the Message Bible. In verse, do you guys read Romans 7 before? Do you know what we're talking about when I say turn there? You read it today? Wow. Go, Monique. Go, God. Verse 14, it says, I can anticipate the response that's coming. I know that all God's commands are spiritual, but I'm not. Isn't this also your experience? Yes, I'm full of myself, after all. I've spent a long time in sin's prison. What I don't understand. Do you guys see the humor in this? This is great. I love it. This is the human condition, and he's talking about it. The Christian condition. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, and then I act another way, doing things I absolutely despise. I'm not asking for a show of hands this morning. We've all done it. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what's best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's command is necessary. But I need something more. For if I know the law but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but I do it anyway. Man. Whoa. Where'd I leave off? My decisions, such as they are, don't result in action. Sometimes something has gone wrong deep within me, and it gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin's there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Go Peterson. Peterson wrote the Message Bible. But anyway, parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. Sneaky. I've tried everything, and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind and am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. And let me read chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. It says, "When with the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, the fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous low-lying black cloud." Hallelujah. "A new power is in operation, the spirit of life in Christ. Like a strong wind has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death." Now, in case you don't recognize it, I'm going to read it in the New King James 2, this last two verses. It says, "There's therefore now no condemnation." Wow. "To those who are in Christ Jesus, who don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." So, you know, James' strategies, you know, if we go back, we did read James chapter 4, which are totally good strategies. We're going to talk more about them. But he talks about humbling yourself. He talks about drawing near to God, and he'll draw near to you. One of Paul's strategies here is just the power of the resurrection and the power of the love of God, and that there's no condemnation in Christ. You know, condemnation is such an enemy because it keeps people in the trap of the flesh, okay? It's like a vicious cycle. And You know, we do something stupid and we don't want to do it, just like Paul talked about in Romans 7. And then the trap that keeps us in there is this condemnation that well, I can't go to church now, man. I can't face everybody now. I'm going to hide. I'm going to stay where no one can see me. I'm going to live in a cave. That's it. That's condemnation. Paul says, you've been freed from that. God's not trying to beat you over the head with a hammer of condemnation. He's trying to set you free. He's trying to say, come on. Come on, you, I believe in you. You can step out of that, you know. He loves you. His love didn't stop, you know, for you 1 second. Even when you blew it, he's trying to lift you up. He's the glory and the lifter of your head, okay? So Paul's strategy for winning is to realize there's no condemnation. And then if you read on, what he talks about is knowing who you are in Christ. You know, that's a valid strategy. Knowing who you are in Christ, knowing there's no condemnation, knowing the power of the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what, that'll help you break free from sin. Let me read you another one. This is Peter. Peter talks about the same battle that we're in. It's like I said, it's a common theme through the New Testament, this battle of the flesh and the spirit. And the good news is we can come out victorious. Are we ever going to miss it? Probably. But you know what? We can get up again. Proverbs said this, a righteous man might fall 7 times, but the Lord will raise him up. Anybody fall 7 times this morning? Maybe. Well, even if it fell 8, God will pick you up. Okay? It ain't over. Get up. Get up. Peter talks about the same thing. He says this in 1 Peter 2, verse 11. It's the only verse, but I'm going to break it down. It says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. I beg you as sojourners. So I'll just be upfront and real with you. I got all this from Rick Renner, this next little portion. Rick Renner's a Greek scholar. It's the one I probably go to the most when I look for a Greek word to figure out what it says. And he broke this verse down, and I'm going to share with you the Greek meanings behind some of these words, because it kind of gives you a fuller picture. So the word beg is a compound word. It means to call or to beckon. First of all, know this, that Christians in this first century lived in a world filled with sin. Might look different than the one we're in, but it was still sin. Things are pulling on them just like they pull on you. They didn't have an iPhone or a BlackBerry or what do people have now? What's the other phones? Oh, androids, yeah. Sounds like Star Trek or something, having an android. Yeah. Funny I never got one. But anyway, they had poles because the devil was behind it. Okay, not that iPhones and androids are from the devil. It's funny how we can be. You know, some things that come into this world can be used for good or evil. I'd just say use it for good. I'd say this too. Don't let it control you. Ha. Well, it's good. Everybody took the vegetables and fruit away from everybody so nobody can throw it this morning when we talk about these things. Oh, there's apples! Only throw good things. The word beg is a compound word. It means to call or to beckon. It paints the picture of someone with a message so important that they come up along the side of a person and plead with them to take heed. So he says, beloved, I beg you. And that's what that word means, that beg word. The word sojourner means a word that describes a person living among citizens of a nation without being a citizen of that nation themselves. That's how we are, folks. We're not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now, that doesn't mean you don't vote, but it means you're more consumed with God than you are this world. Okay? Keep the balance right. Don't get sucked in. You know, I'll go meddle again. It's an election year. Do you know that? Some of you know that. There's ads I have to mute on TV right now in order to enjoy something. What I'm telling you is be prayerful this year. Be prayerful. Be prayerful. Do what you can as a citizen to vote godly, but don't get sucked in to politics. That's not God. It's not. It'll drag you down. All right, now keep moving. So, sojourner is a person living among citizens of a nation without being a citizen himself. The word pilgrim is a traveler that's passing through the country on his way to a final destination. Can you see what Peter's doing here? He's talking to us about life. He's talking about our earth walk here. He's telling us how to successfully maneuver through this earth. How to have a mindset that's godly. All right. Abstain means to deliberately withdraw from, to stay away from, and to put distance from. The word fleshly is referring to our fleshly nature. The flesh is never satisfied. It won't stop, get this, it won't stop till it completely takes over. You give into the flesh a little, okay, it'll want more. It's like that scripture in Proverbs. It says, you know, you give it a little bit, and it says more, more, more. It's, you know, anyway, I don't remember the scripture, but it's in Proverbs. The word soul is referring to our mind, will, and emotions. And Peter's saying, don't open the door to the pulls of the flesh. Have your armor on and resist temptation. The truth is, God just really wants your heart. He wants to pull us from the stream of negativity that we're surrounded by in the world that we live. And he wants us to walk in his protection. You out there this morning? Is it okay to talk about the things we're talking about? You know, you say the word politics and that boy, breaks go on all over the room. I'm just saying, stay in the center of God's will. Okay? Don't be pulled to the right. That's bad. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. One more. Galatians 6, verse 7 through 10. Again, I'm coming back to Paul again. And he says this to us, to believers. He says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If he sows of the flesh, he'll from the flesh reap corruption. But if he sows of the Spirit, he'll of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse 9 says, let's not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. Isn't that good? Sowing, you know, we have a choice. Sow to the flesh, sow to the Spirit. Sow to the flesh, sow to the Spirit. Spend time with God. Spend time with him in his word. Okay, talking about the Bible. Spend time to him in prayer. Don't make prayer something unattainable. Prayer is you being you, talking to God like you talk to your best friend. Okay? And I will couple the two. I'll say, as you read the word, talk to God about that word. Even if I don't understand that, God, that's okay. Talk to him about it. If you do understand it, ask him to show you some facet that you can apply in your life. You know, it's a treasure map. I like that. The Bible is a treasure map to lead us into his presence. Okay? Here's the Phillips Bible of verse 9. I like it. I have favorite verses. It says, let's not grow tired of doing good, for unless we throw in our hand, the ultimate harvest is assured. Isn't that good? We win, folks. Yielding to the Spirit will produce life right here on this earth. Yielding to the flesh is going to cause corruption. Praise the Lord. Here, let me just end with this one. This is the key one I saw in James 4. It says in verse 8, first part, it says, draw near to God, and he's going to draw near to you. Oh, I don't know what to do. Well, draw near to God and let his presence be real in your life. Let's purpose every day. You know, God's with you all the time. Well, even when you leave here, do you know that? I know you know that. Let's purpose every day to just be aware of him all through our day. Don't, you know, I'm not talking about being weird. I'm talking about living life the way it's meant to be. Walking together with him, keeping an awareness of God wherever you're at. Wherever you're at, even in the drudgeries of life, being aware of God.
Hey everybody, thank you so much for listening to that message. We hope that it was a blessing to you.
However you tuned in today, why don't you subscribe and maybe share with a friend.
Yeah, and if you're in the area, we would love to have you join us in person Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. right here in Menominee, Wisconsin. Also, we would be honored if you would consider partnering with us financially to help make this all possible. And you can do that at wearelovechurch.com.
These are great days to be alive. Thanks for tuning in today. God bless you. We love you.
See ya.